go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for the final installment of Might Have a Very Good Time, a conversation with the fabulous Diana West, author, columnist, blogger, pundit, an extraordinary intellect and resource, and dear friend, needless to say. Diana, you have been turning your energies recently to what is now an 8-part series at dianawest.net. I think it's been picked up in places elsewhere as well, but the mothership is, of course, your own blog site. Tell us about this series that you've described as the Red Thread.
Yes. Well, first, I have to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to speak with you today. It's just been a joy. But the Red Thread is my effort to investigate and understand, through the investigation, this incredible phenomenon that many of us have been looking at as an attempted coup, an attempted overthrow or subornation of a legitimately elected president. And the reason that this struck me, anyway, in this very dramatic sense, had to do with the extraordinary efforts, the extra legal, it seems, and also just completely abnormal behavior of so many Washington bureaucrats whose jobs would have been perfectly safe, whose careers would have continued, had they simply waited for the next changing of the power that comes to Washington every 2, 4, or 8 years in terms of the balance of power from one party to the next. What we saw was so abnormal as to invite deeper investigation. And then once we started seeing some of the connections coming out among the different departments and Infusion GPS and the different actors and what they were doing in the coordination with the intelligence agencies, it started looking very familiar to me in terms of everything I've been researching in a more historical sense. And so this was sort of the inauguration of the Red Thread. I didn't know what I would find, but I have found many telltale signs of conspiracy, if I can use that word, certainly networking, plotting, that is something that is very, very familiar to me in terms of the way these kinds of organizations were set up going back to our communist days. See that there are ideological drivers behind some of the players. Particularly, we've talked about Nellie Orr, the woman in the middle, whose husband, Bruce Orr, at the Justice Department, was liaisoning with Justice and FBI, and Christopher Steele, who turns out to have been a colleague of hers at Fusion GPS. When we find out that she has, in her own academic expertise, produced writings I can best describe as apologetics for Stalin's policies, you do have to start putting two together and wondering what kind of conspiracy this is, and is it indeed a conspiracy out of Marxist tradition? I think there are signs of this, and this is something I'm still exploring. I'm finding evidence of other players who certainly were drawn into politics on the heels of, for example, John Kerry's career. We see Jonathan Viner at the State Department, a longtime Kerry aide who went with him to Nicaragua, going back to the Ortega days. I mean, these are the kinds of activities that brought these people into public life and now seem to have brought them together in the anti-Trump conspiracy. John Brennan is another one. We've talked about how he voted communist in the 1970s, never particularly seemed to think that was a bad thing, and certainly entered the CIA nonetheless. You know, these are the kinds of signs that we should be at least listing and putting on in our brains to try to understand what we're looking at. And people are very afraid of it. They're afraid of the ideological component. They're afraid of a lot of it.
Well, not least this charge that they'll all be tagged with this label of McCarthyist if they simply observe that, you know, a guy who went on to become a senior intelligence agent and chief of station, one of the top spies, among other places, in Saudi Arabia, and then on to be the Homeland Security Advisor to the president, then on to become the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, had voted communist, for heaven's sakes. And as you say, doesn't seem to be at least a bit chagrined by it. One wonders whether this may, in fact, have been just another example of somebody with certain proclivities entering government service for the purposes of influencing, shaping policy and the like. And Diana, let me just ask you to walk through quickly what you currently make of this claim. Again, going back to what Mark Cramer was sort of getting at in his opus in the Outlook section of the Washington Post last weekend, namely that somehow, you know, there's an anomaly here. It's acknowledged that the Russians are trying to influence things. They're trying to do it through our elections, they say. They're trying to do it through Facebook and, you know, other media outlets, including, not least, of course, RT, their organ of influence and propaganda in the West. And yet this is unique in the course of their history, that this is the only time they've ever done it. What on earth, especially against the backdrop of all we've just discussed, how could people plausibly make that argument and be taken seriously at that?
Part of the reason they can make the argument and be taken seriously is our tremendous deficiency in understanding the continuity of Soviet-Russian influence operations and other forms of subversion against us that stretch back 100 years. At least. I mean, we're looking at a continuum, not simply a sudden new species of threat. I mean, this is something that goes back such a long way. But again, we've been talking about how people are not aware and are indeed being mistaught by the experts in terms of their own understanding. So that's our first problem. But there's something very dangerous here, and it's something that we discussed at CPAC not too long ago. And this has to do with the characterization of the right, of the Republicans, of the Trump team as being the Russian appeasers, whereas the Adam Schiffs and the Democrats and the Hillary Clintons and the Barack Obamas are being portrayed as the neo-cold warriors, the protectors of the American way. This is a deception campaign, in my book, that is very dangerous, given we don't know what lies ahead of us, but a hot war perhaps that gets blamed on President Trump, that gets blamed on the Republicans, whereby who comes out smelling like a rose? Well, the historic appeasers, the historic Soviet promoters, the historic party that was part and parcel with this entire incursion of Soviet influence into our most important institutions, cultural and political. So I feel like we're sort of in a period of switching and distortion of the very meaning of these particular terms. And I cannot forget seeing go by on Twitter from a Democratic operative a depiction of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes dressed up like Stalin. And this was at the point where he wanted to publicize, bring sunlight to the Republican House FISA memo that caused such consternation on the left last month. This kind of image making, this kind of twisting of people's mind, to me, is the most dangerous aspect of this, whereas I really can deal with RT or Facebook challenges, but this kind of manipulation of our own understanding of who we are can be very, very dangerous if we don't unmask it for what it is.
Well, unmasking being one of the terms of art, much in the news these days, because, of course, some of these folks who are doing this kind of deflection and psychological projection, I would argue, by suggesting that Trump is guilty of things, including collusion with the Russians, by the way, that they perpetrated as state policy during the Obama years and the Clinton Secretary of Stateship in spades and as yet to be fully exhumed. But we're going to have to leave it at that for the moment, Diana West, because we have simply run out of time for today. But we'll look forward to having you back with us next week. It is truly one of the high points of mine, and I'm sure for our audience. And thank you so much for brightening our day today, as you have at such length. We'll resume again next Wednesday. I hope we'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.